This morning we're going to start a little short series here in January because I think at the beginning of the year it's important to lay some foundations. And so one of the foundations is our faith in God, our faith in Christ. And sometimes we use that word without really understanding the depths of it. So we're going to take a couple weeks here, maybe 2-3 weeks, and talk about faith. Remember, those of you who are old like me, remember the commercials back in the 80s and 90s? They said, like, got milk? Well, that's why I entitled this Got Faith. Because it's just this, they did this, the government or whatever, said, let's get people to drink more milk. You know, we want the dairy farmers to be able to have more cows and have a better business or something like that. And so they said, drink milk. And they got all these Hollywood stars and all these crazy people, athletes and stuff, to drink milk and have like a little milk mustache. So when I was thinking about faith, I was like, I want people to have more faith this year. I want them to, you know, have more faith than they had last year and to see God do greater things this year than he did last year. And so we're going to entitle this message, Got Faith. And hopefully, as we learn about faith, as we learn about what it means to walk in faith and to live in faith and to have more faith, we will begin to see God do great things. Now, let's just start where Jesus started with his disciples, because you know, he called some people to follow him and to learn from him. And one of the issues that comes up pretty quickly in their walk with him is this issue of faith. Throughout the ministry of Jesus with his disciples, he mentioned faith to them quite often and he taught them about faith. And on this one occasion, which we have recorded in Luke chapter 8, I want to read you this little story. He gets to a place where he says, you know, where is your faith? Like, where is it? And so I want to start there with you this morning. I'm asking the question of myself as well. Where is my faith? Where is it? So let's see the situation that that he has brought this question up in. In Luke chapter 8, verse 22, it says, one day Jesus and his disciples got into a boat, and he told them, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they set out. And as they were sailing, he fell asleep. Then a fierce windstorm came down on the lake, and they were being swamped and were in danger. They came and they woke him up and they said, Master, Master, we're going to die. And then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waves so that they ceased and there was calm. And this is when Jesus said to them, where is your faith? We'll finish this little passage. They were fearful and amazed at the same time. They couldn't figure out how they felt. They were amazed, but they were also fearful. And they asked one another, who then is this? He commands even the winds and the waves, and they obey him. So their eyes were open to the power of Jesus, to the power of God in Jesus. Their eyes were open. So they thought they were just with like a teacher or a rabbi. They were going to follow this guy and learn some wise things and you know, be able to travel with him. But now they're beginning to see he is more than they thought he was. And I hope that as we venture on into this year together, as disciples of Jesus Christ, we'll realize that God is more than we've given him credit for. God is in control of so many more things than we think he is. The wind and the waves obey him. That's pretty amazing. And so that's the excitement that I want us to have as we begin to think about this concept of faith. But we have to ask the question, what is faith in the first place? Because we use words like faith and faithfulness and faithful and faithlessness a lot. And as we begin this new year together, I just want to take a couple weeks and examine this very important concept. What it means to have faith and to walk by faith into a new year with God. Because we want to see our faith increase so that God can do even greater things in our lives, but also through our lives and through our ministry, in the world. So let's examine faith together this morning, and we'll do it in the next couple weeks as well. So take some notes, look at these passages, understand throughout the week, you can look them up and you can meditate on them. But one of the most famous chapters in the Bible, in the New Testament, which addresses this issue of faith, is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. And it gives sort of a description, a twofold description of faith. So we can kind of start there. And it says this. Faith is, and I'm going to give you like different Bible translations because each one of them has chosen a different English word. You know the Bible wasn't written in English, right? It was written in Greek. You know that? All right, so it had to be translated. So the translators have to choose the best, at the time, the best English word that can help describe the Greek word or the Greek phrase that they're trying to help us to understand. So the New Testament is written in Greek, has to be translated into English. We have several English translations. So we have the one that we have in the pew, which is this book right here, and that's the CSB, right? So in our pew Bible, it says, faith is the reality of what is hoped for, the proof of what is not seen. So that starts to mess with our brain a little bit. In the NIV, which I grew up using, faith is the confidence in what we hope for. So confidence and the assurance about what we do not see. So it uses different words, not just hope, but confidence. And not just proof, but assurance of that proof. And then lastly, in the New King James, they use this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. And I love this word, the evidence of things not seen. All right. So it kind of messes with our brains a little bit, and we're going to have to take some time to understand what that means. How can you have evidence in something you haven't seen? How can you put confidence in something that you're hoping for? So when you want to really impress your friends, you can get a big Bible called the Amplified Bible. Anybody have an Amplified Bible? It's like twice as big as this one, fat-wise. It's got that many more pages because they do something interesting. They try to take the concepts and break them down and give them understanding in the actual verse. So the words will be there for the verse, and then they'll be adding some words to it. So this is what this verse, Hebrews 11:1, says in the Amplified. That... Do we have it on the screen? Yeah, we do. All right. That faith is the insurance, title deed. Now, you know what a title is? When you've finally paid off your house or paid off your car, you get the title, right? So it's the title deed, confirmation of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed. So it's not the kind of hope like, oh, I wish. It's like, this is what God has promised, right? And the evidence of things not seen. And then they give this explanation. The conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses. Wow. We're really getting into some deep water here, right? Really getting into some deep water to try to understand what faith is. So we use the word faith all the time. Do we understand what it actually means? What we're actually saying, you know, when we go up to a brother or sister that's struggling, we say like, oh, sister, have faith, right? Do we understand what it means when we speak that little word faith? It's got depth to it. So these are descriptions of what faith is, but we want to be able to understand it and know what it does for us. See, faith is at the very core of Christianity and our Christian life as believers. While the Bible has a lot to say about it, faith is actually a challenging concept to grasp. So don't worry if you're a little bit like, I don't know where this is headed. I don't understand it completely. It is a little difficult to grasp, right? The biblical definition of faith goes beyond just belief in something. And it brings us into the area of trusting someone. You hear what I said? So faith isn't just believing something Like, oh, I believe there is a God. I have faith. It takes us further than that. Faith brings us into the realm of trusting someone. Now, when we were kids, and maybe you've done this at like businesses or camps or whatever, you heard of the trust fall, where like, you know, you're not allowed to look behind you, and you kind of just put yourself in someone else's hands, and you just like let yourself drop. You know, sometimes it's off like a platform, you're dropping even further, you know, and there's a bunch of people there to catch you. Anybody ever done it? You've done the trust fall? All right, some of you have done the trust fall. Sometimes in gym class or in camp or something like that. But this is what faith does. It takes us from just believing the facts, or there's facts here in this Bible, there's some things that we can learn in this Bible, to actually trusting in a person, the person of Jesus Christ, God himself, trusting in him. That's a big step, right? Going from just knowing something to actually knowing someone is there for you. Someone will keep his promises. Someone will never fail you. Someone will never leave you. And that someone is Jesus Christ. And so that's what faith is. It's a big concept. And trust is something that we all struggle with. And you know why? It's no wonder we struggle. Because this world is swamped with like lies and deceptions and betrayals and broken promises. And so our hearts get hurt again and again. And finally, we callous ourselves. We get kind of like a hard surface. Like when you get calluses on your hands from working hard with tools or whatever. Like you finally just are not willing to trust because you just know you're going to be disappointed again. You know someone's going to fail you again. And so we need to understand that faith is not always easy. When we go up to someone and say, oh, sister, you know, have faith. That's not an easy thing we're asking her to have. Because there's been so many disappointments and so many deceptions. And so many times when we have trusted someone, and what happens is they failed us completely. And so our hearts have been hardened by these constant disappointments and betrayals and broken trusts. But despite all of our hurts and pain that those things cause, God encourages us that he can be trusted. God wants us to trust him. Maybe not anybody else, but him. If we're going to trust anyone, it better be him. In fact, one of my favorite Bible passages is in Proverbs. And since I was this big, this was one of my favorites. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm just saying this is what he tells us to do. Don't rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, know him or acknowledge him, the NIV says, and he will make your path straight. He will guide you. He'll direct you. That's what that means. He'll make your path straight. He'll say, this is the way to go. Come this way. Right? So trusting in the Lord with all your heart, that's faith. That's where we get to that, like, oh, can I trust him? The issue that we have to grapple with is that in that same chapter of Hebrews 11, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we want to live lives that please God. We want to be on his side. We want him to know that we're going in his direction, right? And when we don't have faith, it's hard to please him. Because he knows we don't trust him. He knows that we're not putting our efforts into like really believing the things that he's promised us. Believing that he loves us. Believing that he'll care for us. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we want to have some faith, even if it's as big as a mustard seed, Jesus said. If you have faith of a mustard seed, you got enough, right? But being people of faith, as I said, it doesn't come naturally, not living in this world. But here's the good news. Don't despair. Don't give up. Praise God. Faith can come supernaturally. It doesn't come naturally, but it comes supernaturally. It comes through God. Our loving Heavenly Father knows we need faith. And like any good father, he knows what his children need, and he supplies that need for them. So God gives faith to us simply because of his love, his grace, his mercy towards us. Because he loves us. You see, faith comes from God in the form of a gift. God loves us, and so he gives us faith. God gives us faith because of his mercy and grace towards us, not because we earned it, not because, oh, you're smart enough, you figured this faith thing out, I'll give you some faith. He gives us faith like he gives us his love. We don't deserve it, but he gives it to us because it shows who he is. It shows how good he is. He's a good, good father who gives good gifts to his children. And faith is one of those gifts. I want you to turn, if you can, in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 2. So we can understand a little bit more about this gift of faith. In Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 4, it says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he had for us." See, he's rich in mercy because he loves us. He's merciful to us because he loves us. Not because you earned mercy. See, we get messed up there if we don't figure that out. So he loves us, so he's rich in mercy towards us. "He made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in our trespasses or our sins. You are saved by grace." The end of verse 5 says, you are saved by grace. You didn't save yourself. You are saved by grace. "And he also raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might display his immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus." So, for you are saved by grace through faith. See that in verse 8? You are saved by grace through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is God's gift. It's not from works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared ahead of time for us to do. God's working faith into our lives. He's shaping us. He's developing us. He's helping us to grow. See, the Bible tells us that faith is a gift because he reached out to us first while we were still sinners. Christ died for us. We know that. So if the receiver of faith could do anything whatsoever to earn the gift of faith, that person would have every right to boast about it. But Ephesians 2:9 says it as a gift, so you can't boast. So never boast about your faith. Like, oh, I'm a person of great faith. I never doubt anything. I'm a faith-filled person. Don't boast about it. It's a gift. If you have great faith, God gave you that faith because of his love and grace towards you. See, God wants all Christians to understand that we have done nothing to earn our faith, just like we've done nothing to earn his love. It's only because of what Christ did on the cross that God gives anyone saving faith. Receiving faith is a non-work, the second bullet says. So none of us can boast about it. There shouldn't be those who are, oh, we're people of great faith, oh, you're people of very little faith. There's no sort of, like, you know, ladder of success in this area. No one can boast. But receiving faith is a non-work. You can't work for it. So how are we going to get it? You see, how are we going to get more? If we can't work for it, where does it come from? It comes from God. God gave you your faith. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you came to a place where God gave you that belief. God allowed you to turn the corner of unbelief to become a believer. So by knowing our saving faith comes from God alone, it should encourage us to stay humble, to not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to, But remember, God is the one who gave us faith in the first place. Now, the Apostle Paul teaches a lot about faith, and the Apostle Paul gives an example of a godly humility that believers should have when they think about their own faith. He says to Timothy, when he was writing a letter to Timothy in 1 Timothy, Timothy is a younger believer than Paul, and he says this, "Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man," Paul's talking about himself, "I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." See, faith and love go together. God loves you, so he gave you faith to believe him and trust in him. "This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance," Paul writes. "Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst of them." Now, we don't think of the Apostle Paul as the worst of sinners, but he thought of himself that way. He was humble. He knew what his past life was like. He knew what a terrible person he was. And he knew that God saw him in that state and still shared mercy and grace to him through Jesus Christ. He understood faith in Christ was given to him because of the grace of God, in spite of his own sinful life. We have to get that right here at the foundation of this in order to move into a place of deeper understanding about where is our faith. You got to know that it comes through grace. It comes to you through Christ. See, the Bible tells us about the way that God gives faith to people. And it's in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And in that verse, it says, "Faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from the message about Christ." Or faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the Word of God, if you're an NIV reader like I was. When you come to church and you hear the word of God sung or read or prayed, your faith is increasing. Because this says faith comes from hearing the word, the message of Jesus Christ. The more you expose yourself to God's word, the more you read it yourself, the more you put it on your iPad, the more you put it in front of you or on the radio or whatever, the more you hear of the word of God, the more your faith increases. That's God's word. That's what Paul teaches in Romans. So they're wondering the same thing. Where am I going to get more faith? Well, you're going to get it from God, from hearing about God. Now, not just hearing facts and figures, like I said, not just the facts about God, but the relationship with God in prayer, in meditation, in understanding who God is and asking him to continue to help you to grow as a Christian this year. Your faith will grow if you continue to expose yourself to God's word. But the opposite is also true. Your faith will shrink if you don't expose yourself to God's word. Now, we expose ourselves to God's word personally, yes, through my own Bible reading, through my own time. Corporately, when we come together in a large group like this, we're exposing ourselves to God's word. In small groups, in life groups, the more we expose ourselves to God's word and to people who also are speaking God's word and living God's word and sharing testimony from God's word, the more our faith will grow. So the encouragement is surround yourself with the word of God, people of God, and your faith will grow. But if you separate yourself from those things, if you keep those things, if you keep your Bible on the shelf, if you don't read it, if you don't meditate on any of God's word, your faith will not grow. That is the equation that God has put into our reality. And so that's why we encourage Bible studies and prayer time and church attendance and service with other believers. We encourage all of that because it helps your faith to grow. It helps you to become stronger as a believer. And it's not based on your own works. It's the gift of God. God just put that in place. It's like the way your body is designed. If you take a breath, oxygen goes in your mouth and down into your lungs. And then it's transferred somehow into like your bloodstream and it keeps you alive. You're not making that happen by taking a breath. God made it happen. He put the mechanism in place so that oxygen is in our atmosphere and oxygen is needed in our bodies. And there's this hole called your mouth and your lungs that are there ready to be filled up. And if you keep breathing, you're going to keep living. And if you keep living, you're going to be able to be strong and continue to move on in life. But if you stop breathing, either by accident or on purpose, problems start. This is what has happened to many believers who at one time were breathing the Word of God, were reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, being around others who also were doing that and sharing the Word of God together. And so they were growing. But then life changed. Things got in the way. They got discouraged. Something happened. They had to move. They couldn't find a church. They couldn't find a fellowship. And slowly but surely, the oxygen was drained from their spiritual life. And they were less and less interested in God, interested in what God even thought about their lives, and slowly wither away. The fruit of their life stops being productive, stops being exciting. And so we have to understand that God built us spiritually in the same way that he built our bodies physically. There are things we need, and one of the things we need is God's word. Faith comes from hearing God's word. But fear comes from hearing from the world about all the terrible things that are happening and all the terrible things that are going to happen and all the things that could kill you and all the things that are going to make you sick and all the things that are going to kill your kids and all the things that are going to destroy the government and all the things that are going to... I mean, if you surround yourself with that, that's the opposite of having faith. You're listening to the word, but it's not God's word, the word of this world, and filling yourself up on that, and you wonder why I'm so anxious, I'm so fearful, I'm so filled with dread. Because you're listening to people who don't know God, don't acknowledge God's wisdom, God's strength, God's power, and you're filling up on their words, and their words are producing a lack of faith. We have to watch out for this. We have to hear the Bible. We have to hear testimony of God's goodness. You know, there's several websites. I can't remember the one I'm recently looking at, but there was another one called I Am Second. And IamSecond.com or whatever is a website that's completely filled with testimonies. People who came to Christ from all kinds of different backgrounds, from drug addiction, through divorce, through the death of someone, through all kinds, and they're telling their testimony. They do it in like 8 minutes or less. So it's not like it's time consuming, but hearing people's testimonies builds our faith, right? You know that when you've heard someone share, even last week when we had two people who were baptized, as they shared about how they came to the reality of who God is and believing in God and then want to walk in faithfulness and be baptized, it builds your faith. People, that's what we have to commit ourselves to. I'm not telling you to buy a gym membership. I'm not telling you to get on a new nutrition plan for the year. I'm telling you, get on your faith plan for the year. Grow in God this year, because the more you expose yourself to the good things of God, the more you will grow in your faith. God made it that way. He designed us that way. So someone can receive faith simply from hearing about Jesus. And here's where you come in, right? So yes, we've been talking about our own faith and growing in our own faith, but now there's a whole world out there that I just mentioned that doesn't know anything about Jesus. Or what they do know is so confused they can't figure it out. So here's where you come in. Someone can receive faith by hearing you talk about Jesus. From hearing you share what Jesus has done in your life. Yes, from hearing a sermon about the gospel, but you are more real than a sermon. You work with them. You live, you're their neighbor. You live in their house or whatever. You're more real. You're there all the time. And people come to faith by hearing what you say, just as much as they do from hearing what a pastor says. Because you're a real person, and you're living a real life like they are. And you're going through a difficult time, and yet you're remaining faithful. You're continuing to seek after God. Even when things are dark, even when things are difficult, you continue to hold on in faith. You know, faith is not the product of a compelling presentation. It just isn't. It's not a product of my eloquence or your eloquence. It's not even a product of like great, deep theological understanding. Faith is given to people through the simple message of Jesus in your life and in mine. The simple message of Jesus. It's not too complicated. God saw us in our misery and our sin, and he had a plan from the beginning to rescue us and bring us back to himself. And so he sent his one and only Son into the world to live, but then to die in our place so that we could be forgiven of our sins. And then that Son didn't stay in a grave. He rose again on the third day, victorious over sin and death. And he invites us into relationship with himself through faith in that simple gospel message. That's the way that faith spreads through the gospel. It's about his love and his forgiveness and his promise eventually to come again and to bring us to himself. So finally, I just want to end here. It is a good thing for anyone who wants more faith to ask God for it. Remember, he freely gives it. He didn't earn it, but he freely gives it because he knows it's good for us. Faith is good for us. It helps us through the hard times. It helps us to help others through their hard times. So our Heavenly Father gives good gifts to his children. It's good to ask for an increase of faith. In Luke chapter 17, verse 5, his disciples asked. They said, the apostles said to him, Lord, increase our faith. Now that's a simple prayer for us. Three little words. Increase my faith. God, increase my faith. Would you pray that with me this new year? God, increase our faith. Help us to grow in this area of faith and trusting you and believing in you. I want to read you another little passage here because I have a couple minutes to do it. It's also in the Gospels. It's in Matthew. No, it's not. It's in Mark. What am I saying? It's in Mark chapter 9. But listen to this passage here. Mark chapter 9, verse 24. I'll start earlier. Here's the situation. There's a large crowd of people, and Jesus heard them arguing, and someone from the crowd answered him, Teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. This is verse 17 of chapter 9. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth, and he grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive him out, but they couldn't. So Jesus replied to them, You unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. See, Jesus is disappointed at their lack of faith. They weren't pleasing God with their faith. In verse 20, so they brought the boy to Jesus, and when the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions, the spirit being an evil spirit. He fell to the ground, he rolled around, he foamed at the mouth. Jesus says, how long has this been happening to him? He asked the father. From childhood, the father said. And many times it has thrown him into a fire, into water, trying to destroy him. And then the father said, If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So Jesus said to him, If you can, I love that. If you can help us, help us. If I can help you. Everything is possible for the one who believes. That's Jesus speaking back to that man. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately the father of the boy cried out, I do believe, but help my unbelief. So we can be mixed up here a little bit. We have some belief, but not a lot of belief. We have some belief for some things, but not other belief for other things. And so God knows that, and he displayed this for us in the gospel so we can understand. Help my unbelief. Increase my faith. And Jesus goes on to heal the young man. But these are good things for us to ask. God, increase our faith. Help our unbelief. Jesus prayed for Peter's faith to be strengthened in another part of the Gospels. And as with any gift from God, it's our responsibility to exercise the gift. Not to be complacent, not to be lazy, not to be apathetic, but to go after it. We can find peace of mind knowing that our faith comes from God, not from us. And because he has said he will finish the good work that he began in us. So this year, as we finish up this morning and think about faith on our way out here this morning, I want you to understand that we are running a race. And as a race takes endurance, it's not a short race, it's a long race. It's like a marathon. And this race has brought us now to 2025 and beyond. And what we're encouraged to do in the scriptures, in Hebrews chapter 12, is to keep our eyes on Jesus. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. So you don't have to do anything yourself to make faith appear in your life or increase in your life, other than keep your eyes on Jesus. He's the author. So the author is the person who writes the book, right? The one who writes the letter or writes the book. That's the author. Jesus is the author of your faith. He's going to write your story. He's also the perfecter of your faith. He will bring it to perfection. He will help it to mature. He will help it to increase. So in the situations in your life that you're struggling with, he will give you more and help you walk through those days. And we can do that together in 2025. As a body of believers, we're put together here. We're not individuals so much as we are corporate. We are a body. Each one of us has different amounts of faith. Each one of us has different stories of faith, different testimonies of faith. And we can help each other to grow in this year. I hope you understand how important this is. If not, you'll understand even more next week. Because in the Ephesians passage that talks about the armor of God, do you remember what faith was signified as? A shield. The shield of faith, it's called in Ephesians chapter 6. What's a shield for? To protect us. To keep us from being hurt. God's given us faith to protect us, to keep us from being hurt. We have to figure out what that means and how that works into our lives so that we grow and we prosper. And we don't walk around wounded and weak and falling apart, but that we can walk in confidence and boldness with God. That's what faith is for. One of the things faith is for. So let's pray together. God, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for challenging us with it. We admit that we believe, but we also have areas of unbelief. We have faith, but we need an increase in our faith. And we know, Lord, that you are a good God who gives good gifts to his children. And one of your gifts, along with your love, is faith. So, Father, please look into our hearts, show your mercy and grace, and continue to help us to grow in this area. Fill us up with more faith for this new year. We don't know what the challenges are ahead of us, but you do. And we want to trust in you with our whole hearts, but sometimes, God, that's real hard. So please come and fill us up with more of you. Keep our eyes on Jesus, Lord. Help us to fix our eyes, as that passage says. Fix our eyes. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Because he is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.